Okay, for those of you who have your Bibles, I would like you to turn to the book of 2 Kings in the Old Testament. That's not one we've taken a look at a whole lot. 2 Kings in the Old Testament. Anybody ever feel like they've lost their passion, their power, their edge? Thank you for your honesty. I appreciate that. Yes, I think many of us have felt that way. Probably many of us have felt that way lately. Feel like you've lost your passion, your power, your edge? Maybe you felt that way for a long time. Okay, you remember a time when you really walked with confidence. You remember a time when God really spoke to you, or God really moved in your life. Or you remember a time when you were truly happy. But somehow, somewhere along the way, you lost it. You got distracted. You got hurt. You got hooked up with the wrong people. You lost it. Anybody else feel like no matter what they do, nothing seems to go right? I see some more hands. Sometimes, yes, that even works for us as pastors, trust me. Sometimes everything we touch turns to gold, then sometimes everything we touch turns to you-know-what. But I can't say it, because it's Sunday morning. And then sometimes, look, do you ever just feel like quitting? Do you ever just feel like giving up? Just, it ain't worth it. I'm tired of the fight. I'm tired of the battle. I just want to go to sleep. Right? Yeah, good. That's good. See, that's good. Y'all are awake. That's awesome. Because I got, listen. Because today I got some real, real good stuff for you today. So you might want to take some notes. I got some real good stuff for you today. Now, I must confess to you that some of this message that I'm bringing to you today is based on something I heard 4 or 5 years ago at a men's conference preached by my good friend Shane Warren. So some of these ideas are his. Some of them are mine. But it's a good word from God, and I believe it will touch you, and I believe it will bless you. So 2 Kings, I want to look at a story that talks about what can happen when you lose your edge, when you lose your passion, when you lose your power. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. This is such an interesting story because what you got going on in 2 Kings, you guys have heard me talk about Elijah and his student Elisha. You guys have heard me talk about that before. Okay, what's going on here, guys, in the book of 2 Kings? Remember how I've been telling you lately that the stuff we've been looking over talks about Israel being a divided nation. Israel went through a civil war and they split. The northern kingdoms were called Israel, and the southern kingdoms were called Judah. And this is the time period in which Elijah and Elisha lived. Okay, so what you have going on here is, again, we're still in the divided kingdom period, and both of these nations, neither one of them is serving God. Their kings are wicked, their kings are evil, and they're leading the people astray. So here you have Elisha, and he's one of the few people out there speaking the truth. He's one of the few people out there speaking the truth. And he's not very well liked. He's popular. People know. Everybody knows his face. He's popular, and he's powerful, but not a lot of people like him because he's speaking the truth. But here in the book of 2 Kings, you have this story almost doesn't seem to fit. Because it's in between Elisha giving prophetic words and giving pronouncements of judgment and all these stories about battles and wars. And right here is just this really cool story. 2 Kings 6, 1 through 7. The company of the prophets said to Elisha, "Look, the place where we meet with you is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan," that's the Jordan River, "where each of us can get a pole. And let us build a place there for us to live." And he said, "Go." Then one of them said, "Won't you please come with your servants?" "I will," Elisha replied. And he went with them. They went to the Jordan and began to cut down trees. As one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. "Oh, my Lord," he cried out. "It was borrowed." The man of God asked, "Where did it fall?" When he showed him the place, Elisha cut a stick and threw it there and made the iron float. "Lift it out," he said. Then the man reached out his hand and took it. So I'm going to break this down to you a couple verses at a time. And look, you may not think it by upon first reading of this story, but there's a lot of good nuggets of things here that we can learn as a church and that we can learn as believers. First verse, the company of the prophets said to Elisha, "Look, the place where we meet with you is too small for us." And you guys are going, who in the world is the company of the prophets? I'll tell you. The company of the prophets can also be known as the guild of the prophets or the school of the prophets. It was established by the prophet Samuel. If you guys remember, the prophet Samuel was the prophet who called out King David. King David was the youngest of, my goodness, I think 12 brothers. The youngest. And Samuel saw, that is the man that's going to be the king over Israel. Samuel was a great prophet. Samuel established the school of the prophets. And the schools were located in three towns, Gilgal, Jericho, and Bethel. Okay, and I'll show you a map of that in just a second. But they were located in three towns. And then Elijah came along, and he ran the school. Then when he left, Elisha came in and ran the schools. And also, Elisha, interestingly enough, guys, Elisha here, notice, the place where we meet with you is too small for us. This is the only passage that I can find in the Bible where it actually talks about the school of the prophets growing. The school of the prophets growing. The school of the prophets grew the most under the leadership and the care of Elisha. But something interesting. Elisha, who did Elisha serve under? Elijah. Okay, I know those names are confusing, but Elisha served under Elijah. He was his right-hand man. He taught him all he knew about being a prophet. He taught him all he knew about it. He served him faithfully. But notice, Elijah and Elisha, that was a one-on-one relationship. Now what kind of relationship does Elisha have with the school of the prophets? Do you notice anything? Multiplication in generations. That's what God is all about. God's all about multiplication. Okay, Elijah and Elisha was a one-on-one relationship, and that's great. We need mentors. You need spiritual fathers. We need spiritual daughters and sons. That's how God made it. But look how God multiplied in just one generation. God went from Elijah and Elisha to Elisha and a whole school of prophets in three different locations. Do you see that? Are you guys with me? Do you see that? Okay. Multiplication in generation. So from generation to generation, God wants to multiply the anointing. God wants to multiply the calling. Because remember, or maybe you don't remember, I'll tell you. Elijah never died. Elijah was taken up in a chariot up into heaven. He never died. Before he went to heaven, his servant Elisha was with him. And basically Elijah said, "Look, pal, I'm going. Any last request? Anything else I can do for you?" And Elisha said, "Yes, please, give me a double portion of your anointing. Give me a double portion of your power." So Elijah gave it to him. He took off his mantle, which would have been his cloak or his robe, and he put it on Elisha. So then when Elijah went up to heaven, Elisha, guess what, baby? He had double the power and double the fun. Okay? So multiplication. God wants to multiply to you, young people, what He's given to us. Okay? So that you at 16 will know twice what I know at 41. You'll have twice the power that I have at half of my age. Now that's cool. Okay? That is cool. Because I did a lot of stupid stuff. And if you can avoid the stupid stuff, hallelujah. Jump up and down and have fun in God. Okay? Okay, but multiplication in generations. God wants to multiply to you what He did in the previous generation. Right? Okay? If this is the kingdom of God and we're supposed to be advancing, I don't read anywhere where the kingdom of God is retreating. What did Jesus say? Your kingdom come, your will be done. He didn't say, oh, your kingdom retreat. Your kingdom go home and give up. Did He say that? He said, your kingdom come. Now, present tense, and advance. Okay? He didn't say give up. So God wants to multiply to you what He did for me. And He wants to multiply to the generation coming after you guys, those little guys right back there. He wants to give them double what He's given you, which means that's quadruple what He's given me. Are you following me? Okay. Multiplication in generations. And look, God wants His people to grow. Hear the prophets say, hey, the place where we're meeting with you, it's too small, Jack. We need a bigger place. Hallelujah. I'd love to hear some of y'all come to me and say, hey, this place stinks. This is too small. Let's get out of here. As a matter of fact, we're looking at getting out of here. Okay? But God wants His people to grow. You know, these guys aren't saying, oh, this place is too big. We need a smaller place. God doesn't go backwards, guys. He goes forward. It's about growth. Okay? It's about growth. And look, the next thing that God does, He wants it to be bigger than the last. Right? Elijah mentored Elisha. Now Elisha is mentoring a whole school of prophets in three locations. And guess what? This location in Jericho, it's too small. So He wants it to grow. That's awesome. Okay, I don't know if y'all think that's awesome. That's awesome. The next thing that God does, He wants to be bigger than the last. Fantastic. I'm ready. Bring it on. Okay? Now, oh boy, can you guys see this? Not really. Sorry. Okay, this is a map. This is a map of Israel looking from the south. Down here is Egypt, looking north into Israel. This is the Dead Sea. This is the Sea of Galilee. This little blue line right here is the Jordan River. I pulled this up to show you. This is the town of Gilgal. This is the town of Bethel. And this is the town of Jericho. Those are the three locations of the schools of the prophets. Okay, and in this passage, you read that they said, hey, let's go down to the Jordan River. Let's cut down some trees. So that tells us, if this is the Jordan River, the closest town to the Jordan River is Jericho. So that tells us that this school that they're talking about is located in Jericho. Just wanted to point that out to you. Otherwise, that's a long hike from here to there across the desert to take a bunch of logs. I don't know if y'all want to do that. I don't. Sorry, that didn't come out real great there. Now, verse 2. The students say, let us go to the Jordan, where each of us can get a pole or a beam, okay? And let us build a place there for us to live. And so Elisha says, go. Don't wait for me. Go. Get your butts out there. Go. Now, what does the Jordan River represent? Anybody? What's that? Life? Yes. After a certain point, yes. Think about something. When the Israelites went through the desert, before they crossed the Jordan, what did they have to go through? Remember now, when you cross the Jordan River in ancient times, you're entering the Promised Land. Y'all got that with me? Okay, you saw where the Jordan was there? When they crossed the Jordan, they entered the Promised Land. But what did they have to do before they crossed the Jordan? What did they go through in the desert? Well, they went through the desert, yes. Yes, sir, thank you. Hardship, trial, tribulation, testing. Okay, then, once they crossed the Jordan and went into the Promised Land, what did they have to do? That they had to fight the enemy and they had to occupy. So you guys with me? Before the Jordan, trial, testing, desert, hardship. training. Remember we talked about that months ago. Training for what's coming. Then once they cross the Jordan and go into the promised land, they got a fight. They were training for that fight. God was preparing them for that fight. They still got a fight. There's still a battle to be waged. And there's occupation. They got to occupy the land God's promised them. You guys follow me? Does that make sense? Okay, so that's what the Jordan River represents. Okay, you got to cross it. You got to get across it. And there's different stages there of what you got to go through. Okay. Notice everyone had a role to play. Okay, notice, did Elisha say, "All right, guys, I'll go down, I'll chop all the wood, y'all just chill out"? Did he say that? Did he say, you guys relax, play some PlayStation, okay, watch some movies, I'm going to go cut the trees"? Did he say that? No. Did he say, "You guys take a nap, kick back, have a few brewskis, I'll go cut the trees"? No. No. He said, "Go." Okay, notice it says, "Let us go to the Jordan where each of us can get a pull." Every single person had a role. Every single one of them. Guys, these were students. Okay, these were young men. Students. Schools of the prophets. These were young men. The Bible sometimes calls them the sons of the prophets, so that we know they're young men. But everybody had a role to play, no matter how young. No matter how old, you had a role to play. Everybody. Okay? I don't see here where one person is not helping out. Each of us can get a pull. Everybody's got a role to play. So I don't care. You don't think you have something to say. You don't think you have something to do here. You do. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are, where you've been. It don't matter. God loves misfits. Just take a look at the New Testament. Take a look at the whole stinking Bible. Okay, David, King David, had an affair with a woman that he saw naked standing on a roof, called for her, told his guys to go get her, brought her into his chambers, had sex with her, and then sent her husband out to the front line in battle to be killed. And God still said, "That's a man after my own heart." Really? Okay. There's some crazy stories in the Bible. I mean, look at the disciples. "Oh, we'll never leave you, Jesus. We love you." Then when the poo-poo hits the fan, where did they go? They took off. Okay? And the person that most boldly and arrogantly said, "I'll never leave you," cursed his name and said three times, "I don't know that dude." So come on. We've all been there. God still wants to use you. I don't care how young you are, how old you are. Everybody has a role to play. And you got to start seeing that, guys. You got to start seeing it. Because notice, that leads right into my next point. One person can't build the house of God. If you're looking to me to build the house of God, we're going to fail. Did you hear what I said? Everybody look at me. Did you hear me? If you're looking at me, or me and Denise, or me and the six leaders of this church to build it, we're screwed. We're done. Okay, because one person, or five or six people, can't build the house of God. Notice here, everybody chipped in. Everybody. Now, they probably all didn't do the same thing, but they chipped in. One person can't build the house of God. So please don't look at me to build the house of God by myself, because you're going to kill me if you do. Okay? You're going to be standing over me, 6 feet under. Okay? This is a job for all of us to do. And notice something really cool here. Elisha trusted his students enough to let them build on their own. Did he not? They said, "Hey, master, let's go down to the Jordan. Let's cut some trees, blah, blah, blah." You know, he said, "Go. I trust you all. Go. I've trained you. Get your butts out there. Go." But notice, this is cool. Notice, in the next verse, one of them said, "Won't you please come with your servants?" "I will," Elisha replied. And he went with them. Notice, they went to the Jordan and began to cut down trees. Who's they? Who's they? Him and his students. That's right. Because one of them said, "Will you please come with us?" Of course I will, he said. Of course. And he went with them. They went to the Jordan and began to cut down trees. So here's Elisha, probably an old dude by now. Okay? Here he is. Now notice, remember what I said. He's famous. He might not be popular, but he's famous. Everybody knows him. It's like, you know, I don't know who. It's like the president. It's like Barack Obama. Everybody knows who Barack Obama is. See his picture, you know. Whether you like it or not, okay, whether you like him or not, you still know who he is. Right? Everybody knew who Elisha was. But yet, he was still humble. Okay? Look, his students welcomed his leadership and oversight. They didn't say, oh, good, man, we're going to go down here and chop some trees. Pop's out there chilling out. We don't need him. Whew, I'm glad to get away from that guy. No, they said, please, would you please come with us? They welcomed his leadership and his oversight. They realized they needed him. And look, even though he was famous and gifted, he was still humble. You know, he wasn't too arrogant to take the axe and cut down some trees. He wasn't too arrogant to do that. Was he? He's Elisha. He's the prophet of Israel. The prophet of Israel. Notice, remember what I said. One of the few, if not the only one left in Israel. Because the king is worshiping other gods. The nation is worshiping other gods. And only Elisha and his schools of the prophets are out there speaking the truth. So he could have been proud. I'm Elisha, dude. I am the man, literally. I am the man. I am the dude who's out here speaking the truth. That's me. I'm the prophet. I got school. Look at all my students. I got three schools of the prophets, man. Look at what I'm doing here. But no, he was still humble to take his axe and get out there and cut down some trees. He was humble. And you know, you want to know what made him humble? Because guess what? He used to serve, didn't he? Huh? Did he just get put in this position? Oh, you're 60 years old now, Elisha, go. Now you're a leader. No. He served the great prophet Elijah. Remember, a good servant makes a good leader. Okay? A good servant makes a good leader. And he became a servant leader, did he not? He basically said, look, I'm not going to ask these dudes to go somewhere I'm not willing to go. I'm not going to ask them to cut down a tree if I can't get out there and cut down a tree. And that's a great leader. You never ask anybody to go where you're not willing to go. Right? That's the best kind of leader there is. One who serves as well as leads. Verse 5. As one of them was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. Oh, my Lord, he cried out. It was borrowed. It was borrowed. So here's this guy. He's chopping away. He's working hard. He's working for the Lord. So while he was working for the Lord, did he forget the Lord of the work? Anybody ever done that? Am I the only person that's ever done that? You guys ever get so busy for God, doing so much for God, running here and running there, and I'm serving God, and I'm leading this, and I'm doing that. Did you ever get so busy for God that you forget to pray? Yeah. You ever get so busy doing the Lord's work that you forget He's the Lord of that work, that you're doing it for Him? Anybody ever done that? Am I the only person? Thank you. Yes. So, somehow, in the midst of working for God, in the midst of chopping down this tree, something happened to where this iron axe head suddenly got wings and flew off and fell into the water. Okay? I don't know. Was it loose and he didn't notice it? I don't know. You know, was he busy and then a pretty girl walked by? I don't know. Okay? I don't know. Or was he just trying too hard, you know? I mean, I don't really know how to use this thing real well, to be honest with you. That's why I'm not going to chop anything, because I'd make a fool of myself. Okay? I mean, it looks cool. If I had a hockey mask, I could be Jason. Okay? I mean, it looks cool, and it looks powerful and scary, and some of you are frightened right now that I'm holding an axe. Okay? But I do it to make a point. Okay? You know, was this guy just chopping away, and, you know, he was so anxious, and he just lost his focus? And then all of a sudden, pew, that thing flies off. Oh my gosh, it was borrowed. It wasn't his. So did he just lose focus? I don't know. But he lost something, okay? He lost this somehow. Whether he lost his focus, whether it was a nice-looking woman walking by, I don't know. He lost it. Now remember something. Iron was precious metal back then. Precious metal, much like gold or silver, because it was so strong and it was so sturdy, and it got the job done. You wanted to cut down a tree, you use an axe with an iron head. That will get the job done. It was strong, it was sturdy, it was powerful. So it's precious metal. And notice that the iron axe head fell into the water. Ah, big deal. Just reach down and get it. Yeah, well, the Jordan River is kind of like the Susquehanna. Anybody ever been out to the Susquehanna? Okay, there's parts of the Susquehanna you can walk across. Am I right? I've been to Israel, okay, so I can tell you, there's parts of the Jordan River that are like the Conewago Creek. I could just walk across. I could go sit in it and just chill out and get a suntan that's about that deep. Okay, but interestingly, guys, at Jericho, down in the valley, you saw that we're in Jericho here. In Jericho, that's the deepest part of the Jordan River. It's deep, it's swift, it's muddy, and it's murky. Just like some parts of the Susquehanna River, right? You don't go swimming in the Susquehanna River because you disappear. Am I right? There's currents, there's sinkholes. Yeah, don't go swimming there. You disappear. Like there's some giant monster under there or something. Okay? So look, you know, you think when you read the story, oh, the iron axe head fell in water, big deal. It's probably right there on the shore. No. The waters were swift, they were deep, they were muddy, they were murky. So that puppy is down on the bottom, lost. Now, something very, very interesting about this passage, too. The Hebrew word for borrowed can also mean begged for. Okay? So, he's saying, oh, my Lord, it was borrowed, but oh, my Lord, I begged for that thing. He was so anxious to help. He was so eager to help. He begged to use it. Now, he didn't have one of his own, obviously, because, remember, iron is precious metal. It's expensive. He's a student. Anybody here ever been a student? Is anybody rich when they're in college? No, buddy. You're eating ramen noodles and macaroni and cheese every night. Trust me, I did it for a long time. Okay? Gets ridiculous after a while. Okay? But listen, he begged, please, guys, please, can I borrow? Please, I want to help. He's probably young and eager, man. Please, I want to help. And he probably just got out there and got chopping, got a little crazy, got a little over-anxious. Oh, no. That was borrowed. Now, do you see the connection there? Because this is iron. It's precious metal. It's worth a lot of money. It's not his. And now it's at the bottom of the Jordan River. Okay? That means I got to pay that back. How in the world am I going to pay that back? Okay? So here's something I want you to grab a hold of. This axe handle. Without the axe head. Equals our gifts and talents. God gives us gifts and talents. Okay? But this thing, without the axe head, is worthless. If I come over here and I'm going to chop this table off, chop it to pieces, chop the top off of it, how long do you think I'm going to be doing that before this breaks apart? You guys come back in 10 years, I'll still be doing it. Okay? But if I take it with the axe handle, give it a couple whacks, it's going to come apart. Okay? This axe handle represents our gifts our talents without the power of God. This represents the Holy Spirit, the power of God. His power with our gifts is very effective. But our talents without His power equals failure. Get that in your head. Get that picture in your head. Our talents without His power equals failure. You know, but you might say, yeah, but I've done stuff outside of God and it's been successful. Not as successful as it would be if you were with Him. If He's with you, you will succeed every time. And you will succeed 10 times more than you could on your own. So this guy loses his axe handle. It falls in the water. It sinks to the bottom. It's deep. It's swift. It's muddy. It's murky. Oh, my Lord, it's borrowed. What am I going to do? So he goes and he gets Elisha. And the man of God, who's Elisha, he says, where did it fall? So the man showed him the place. Elisha cuts a stick, throws it in the water. Does that sound familiar, anybody? Does that sound familiar with what we talked about last week? Elisha takes a stick and throws it in. Does that sound familiar? Huh? Moses and his staff, does that sound familiar? See? See, isn't that cool? Connections? Okay? Elisha cuts a stick, throws it there, and it made the iron float. Now I want to show you some cool stuff. Now look, this guy, he knew exactly where he lost it. And so did everybody else. Because remember, they're all standing there, they're all chopping down trees. Whack, whack, whack. They're all chopping down trees, right? They're all busy. So they saw him get a little too over-anxious, and that thing flew in the water. They're probably snickering, probably laughing. Okay? But he knew exactly where he lost it, and so did everybody else. So my question to you is, where did you lose it? Where did you lose your edge? Where did you lose your passion? Where did you lose your power? You need to ask yourself that question this morning. Where did you lose it? Because you lost it somewhere along the way. Where'd you lose it? But notice what he did. Notice what this young man did. He didn't sit down and cry. He didn't boo-hoo. He didn't foolishly jump in the water and swim and try to get it. Okay? He didn't call in the Coast Guard diving crew to find it. He didn't, and neither did he say, no big deal, whatever. I'll just go get another one. No. He goes and he gets help. He admitted he needed help from a man of God. We need to do that more often. Okay, last week we talked about being real a little bit. Okay, and last week what did we do at the end of the service? We came up and held each other's arms up, right? We admitted we needed each other. Okay? So it's time we start admitting that we need help. Okay, rather than coming in here pretending everything's okay every week. And I'm sure there are weeks you come in, everything's okay. But there's lots of weeks when it's not. And I know it. And so does he. Okay? You might be able to fool 98% of the people, but you can't fool me. Okay? There's a reason God put me pastor over this church, because you can't fool me. Trust me, I'm good at that. You can't fool me. And you can't fool him. We got to start admitting that we need help from him. That's what we need to do. Far more often than we do. So he admitted he needed help from a man of God. He went and he got Elisha. And Elisha said, where did it fall? There. Okay? Now this is cool too. The Hebrew word for stick can also mean a small tree. How about that? So Elisha takes his axe, I'll take care of it, buddy, whacks down a small tree and tosses it in the water. I'd like to see that. I'd like to see some old dude like Yoda go over there and cut down the tree and then toss it in. I'd like to see that. That'd be awesome. Okay, but that's what he does. He cuts down a small tree, tosses it in the water. Now, I want you to notice the connection here, and that's why I picked up the staff over there. I want you to notice the use of a stick or a tree. Moses used it to strike a rock and bring forth water. He used it for a lot of other things. He tossed it down on the ground and it became a snake, right? He smacked the Nile River and it turned to blood. He smacked the Jordan River and it parted. Moses used a stick, a tree, to strike a rock and bring forth water. Elisha used it to toss it in the water and bring forth the axe head. And thank God, Jesus used a tree, a stick, the cross, to bring forth eternal life and victory for us here on earth. Does that excite anybody else? Do y'all see that connection? Do you see the connection? A tree, a tree, a tree. And there's a lot more instances. I only gave you three. There's always that connection. Everything in the Old Testament is a foreshadowing of what's to come. Do you follow me? It's a foreshadowing of what's to come. What, you think it's a coincidence? Elisha cut down a tree, tossed it in the water. Whatever. Just a stupid story. No, it's not. It's a foreshadowing of what's to come. It's a foreshadowing. Now, here's something that blew my mind. The Hebrew word for float can also mean swim. Okay? So Elisha threw the tree in, and it made the iron swim. Backstroke. I don't know. What? I don't know. Okay? The Hebrew word for float can also mean swim. Now, can you imagine that? This thing floats up to the top, little arms sprout out of it and legs, and it starts, right, going to swimming, doing a little spout of water as it's swimming. Hey, I'm just telling you what it says. I'm not. Y'all think I'm probably crazy. I'm making it up. I'm not making it up. Listen. God wants to cut down a tree and toss it in the middle of your problem and bring forth healing and deliverance. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? He wants to cut down a tree, toss it in the middle of your problem, and bring forth healing and deliverance. And the last verse. Again, very cool stuff. Very cool stuff. Elisha says to the young man, lift it out. Remember, he threw the tree in. The axe head floats to the top, does a little swim, over to the shore, probably. Probably the shore, because Elisha's not going to make him go out in the middle of the deep water. Okay? It swims over to the shore. He says, pick it up. Lift it out. And it says, the man reached out his hand, and he took it. So, Elisha basically tells the guy, look, the choice is yours, man. There it is. Okay? You can take hold of it. That's a miracle I just did for you there. Did you see that? Were you awake? Did you see the miracle I just did for you? Okay? But you know what? You can let it sit there if you want. Or you can pick it up. You can take hold of it. Or you can let it stay in the muddy, murky river. It's your choice. Notice, Elisha did not say, here you go. Let me get that for you. Here you go. You feel better now? Is everything okay? No, he said, pick it up. Why? Because the teacher is trying to teach the student something. There's your miracle right there in front of you. God just did it. Now pick it up and do something with it. God's provided it. Pick it up and do something with it. If you want to leave it, fine. Leave it there. It'll rust and it'll probably go down the river. And maybe it'll sink again back into the muddy, murky river. Do you see what I'm trying to say? It's all there, man. It's all there for us. It's all there. So, this guy, thankfully, he learned a valuable lesson. He reached out, he picked up his victory, he picked up his miracle, and he learned a very valuable lesson. 2 Peter 1, verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. I'll say it again. Glory, I'll say it again. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Everything. Everything. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. That's the lesson that he learned. No matter what situation I'm in, no matter where I'm at, no matter if it's a stupid axe head floating at the bottom of the Susquehanna River, or it's a divorce, or it's a lousy marriage, or it's kids who aren't serving God, or whatever the situation, he's given us everything we need for life and godliness. Notice, he's given us everything we need for life and godliness. We just got to reach out and pick it up. We just got to reach out and pick it up. You with me? We just got to reach out and pick it up. It's right there. It's right here in this body of believers. It's right here in this word. It's right here in your heart, guys, because if you have Jesus in your heart, then guess what? You have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. And the scripture says that the same, listen, y'all better get this. You better get this in your spirit. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Man, y'all should be up, jumping up and down. Y'all would be skipping on the top of these pews. The same power, listen to what I'm saying, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that's pretty powerful, right? He was dead. You know, dead, 3 days, dead. Okay, what happens after 3 days when somebody's dead? Starts smelling pretty bad, right? Yeah. Yes, ma'am, it does. Okay, he's in the grave 3 days. 3 days. And God raises him from the dead. And the scripture tells me that the same power lives in me. The same power lives in you. That's awesome. Okay? His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Just got to reach out and grab it. Just got to reach out and pick it up. Okay? And quit waiting for somebody else to do it for you. Okay? And quit waiting for the magic pill to drop out of heaven. Come on now, come on. Now let's be real for a couple minutes here. All right? Do we not do that? Do we not? Okay? You know, I take a couple pills every day. That's cool. You could do what you got to do. Okay? But there ain't no magic pill that comes down out of heaven from God. It don't work. That's not how it does it. Okay? Hebrews says, let's keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Is there something missing to that? Walk with me. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. What's missing? The middle. Who's got to take care of the middle, guys? We do. Am I the only person? Are we the only two people to see that? Okay? Guys, there's no magic pill when you're praying, oh Lord, please help me. Oh my gosh, a pill just fell out of heaven. If I take that, everything will be great. No, guys, it's right there. It's right there. It's floating in the river. It was at the bottom of the river. And now God has caused it to float up. That power for victory, that power for salvation, that power for deliverance, that power for healing, it's right there. Just reach out and grab it. Reach out and take a hold of it. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. This dude had to go back to work, put the axe head back on there, get your butt back to work. You got to get back to building, Jack, and you got to get back to learning. Okay? It wasn't Pop-Tarts and roses for him after he got the axe head back on the handle. He had to go back to work. That's what we got to do, guys. Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. We got to do the in-between. So let's get to work. We got to do it. So, I want to challenge you. If I haven't already, I want to challenge you. And I will put this away now. So you won't think I'm going to do something weird with it. So what are you going to choose today? What are you going to choose? Because remember we talked about how God wants to grow you. God wants to expand you. God wants His kingdom to grow. He's always about multiplication and growing. So what are you going to choose? You going to choose to grow, or are you going to choose to stagnate? You want to stay the same? That's your choice. I don't want to stay the same. Matter of fact, I'm tired of it. And I guess I'm the only person that's tired of it. Y'all are all happy where you're at. So what are you going to choose? Growth or stagnation? Is growth going to hurt? Yes, it's going to hurt. But it's going to hurt a heck of a lot less than staying in the same place. Thank you. Yes, it's going to hurt a heck of a lot less. Because stagnation at some point equals what? Thank you. Death. That's right. By definition, it equals death at some point. So what are you going to choose? Growth or stagnation? It's up to you. Remember what Denise said from the keyboard. I hope you were paying attention when she said from the keyboard, God's a gentleman. Okay? He's a gentleman. He's only going to go as far as you want him to go. And he's only going to go as far as you let him. He's a gentleman. Yeah, he's going to shake you up a little bit after a while. The choice is yours. He don't put a gun to your head and say, serve me. God's not like that. So he'll say, go right ahead. You want to choose stagnation? Go for it, man. And you'll have everything that goes with it. Your choice. How about this? What are you going to choose, humility or pride? Remember what we said about Elisha? He was the man. He was the prophet. Right? Like some of those preachers you see on TV. He was the prophet. He was the man. Right? He was the man. He was the man. The prophet in all the land. I'm the only one speaking the truth. Was he walking around all prideful? I've got a school of the prophets. I'm the man. No. He was humble. He was humble. He got right down there with his students in the dirt and chopped down trees. Right? So what are you going to choose? You going to choose to be humble, or are you going to choose to be prideful and say, I don't need God. I'm good. Please, man, we all need God. I don't care whether you like that or not. You need him. I need him. And you better start saying that you do. You better start waking up and saying that you do. So what are you going to choose? Growth or stagnation? Humility or pride? And last, but certainly not least, victory or defeat? Because like I said, it's right there. It's right there in front of you. God's done it. And if we pulled that screen up, you'd see a nice, beautiful cross right there. God has done it. It's finished. When Jesus was on the cross and said, it's finished. What's finished? My crucifixion? Yeah, that was finished. He meant this, baby. The battle. The war. It's won. It's done. It's over. He's already defeated the power of death. He's already defeated it. He's already defeated sin. You just got to reach out, pick up the victory. So do you want to do that, or do you want to stay where you're at? I mean, come on. Let's be real. How many walk around on a weekly basis on average and feel defeated? Get your hands up. Come on. Come on. I'm your pastor and I'm being real with you. I'm raising my hand. Come on now. Really, how many of us walk around at least 4 out of the 7 days, at least half the days of the week, and say, good God, I'm so tired of this. I'm so tired of the fight. I'm so tired of the battle. Just want to go to sleep because it feels better to sleep. I don't have to think about it. Right? Am I talking to anybody? Yes. Okay. It's right there. And I know it's not that easy, guys. I know that. I know it's tough. But that's why we need each other. That's why we got to be real with each other. Okay? That's why, yes, I know we've heard it 5 million times, and now it's 5,000,001. You got to read the Word. You got to read it. You got to pray. You got to spend time with like-minded believers. You got to get in church. Sorry, I know that's all stuff we don't want to hear. Because we want the magic pill. I'll take the little blue pill. Right? We want the pill. Because we live in that age where we want things now. We get mad if we go through the drive-thru at McDonald's and it takes more than 90 seconds. Right? Right? We get mad if my pizza in the microwave isn't done in 90 seconds. And to boot, it's soggy. It's soggy. Okay? We live in this fast-paced, I want it now, as a matter of fact, I want it yesterday society. But see, that don't mean it's God's way. Because our culture says it's that way, that don't mean it's God's way. I don't see that. As a matter of fact, I see the people of God going, hey, buddy, when are you going to show up? Right? Take a look at the Psalms. David's like, boy, I'd really like it if you'd come and kick that guy's butt so I don't have to. I wish you'd take my enemies out, man. I'm tired of it. Take a look at it. I'm not making it up. Read it for yourself. There's 150 Psalms. Have at it. Now, there's lots of ones of praise and joy, but there's a whole lot where David says, please, would you just please kill them and get them out? Please, they're driving me crazy. They're pressing in on every side. You know, it's a battle, but the battle's won. So, you got to get in the Word. You got to pray. You got to hang out with like-minded believers. You got to be in church. What did our parents say growing up? And y'all, listen. Listen, young people. I don't know if your parents are saying it or not, so I'll say it. You are who you hang out with. Who heard that growing up? All of us old folks and some of the youngins, okay, heard that growing up. You are who you hang out with. Is that not true? It is absolutely 125% true. What's that? Guilt by association. Guilt by association. Definitely. Hey, that's true. And most of the time you are guilty. Okay? So if that stands to reason in the world, then shouldn't it stand to reason in the church? Thank God. Man, we are who we hang out with. So if we hang out together, guys, we're going to be able to help each other. We're going to be able to lift each other up, just like we did last week. Lift each other's hands up. All right, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to ask each and every one of you. I'm going to ask you to get out of your seat. I'm going to ask you to get up here. I'm going to ask you to find a space alone, you and God. You and God. And I want you to search your hearts. Because look, everybody in this place, everybody here, has had a time or is going through a time when you lost your edge. Don't lie to me, because I know every single one of us has, including me. We've all had a time where we've lost our edge. We've lost our focus. We've lost our vision. We've lost our passion. Whatever happened, divorce, bad marriage, addiction, whatever the case, we've all done it. And I'm going to ask you to get alone with God. If you're not comfortable getting up here, then make your pew your own little space. Get alone with God and talk to Him about when you lost that edge. And tell Him you want to get it back. And tell Him you want to pick up the victory and run with it. Okay? That's what I'm going to ask you to do now for a few minutes. All right? Find a space. Those of you who want to come up here, do it. Okay? Find a space, guys. Get alone with God. Okay? Because look, everybody in here admits you're struggling. You're having a tough time. You're going through weeks feeling down and frustrated. Okay? So find a space, get alone with God, and talk to Him. Talk to Him about it. All right? Do it. Let's go. Do it. Don't wait for me. Or make your pew your little space. Okay?